You're listening to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. And what you're hearing right now is a brand new instrument, the Renaissance 17. It is a digital microtonal keyboard with 17 keys per octave, which is five more than the usual 12 keys per octave. And it was conceived of and designed by Mehmet Ali Senlikol, Grammy-nominated musician, composer, faculty member at New England Conservatory, and friend of the show. Mehmet joined us in Studio 2 to talk about the Senlikol Renaissance 17, and he started by talking about the piece you're hearing right now.
I came up with a particular way to tune the instrument and so that I could play a Turkish mode, a Turkish makam on it, which are just by nature of the music are microtonal scales, if you will.
So let's talk about this microtonal thing, which we've talked about with you before. Mm-hmm. My understanding is this is what made you decide to invent a new instrument.
Yes, it is from a Western perspective, it is those notes that are not necessarily found on a contemporary guitar or a contemporary piano or keyboard instruments that have 12 notes per octave. But where I come from, in Turkey, in the Middle East, in different parts of the world, there are musics that are performed, traditional musics that are performed, are typically, quote-unquote, microtonal, meaning they have more than 12 pitches per octave.
So we wanted to break this down for listeners because we'll have some who want to appreciate what you're saying but don't know music at all. Mm-hmm. So we've got two pieces of sound here. First, this typical Western 12-note octave. Here's what it sounds like on a piano.
C, C sharp, D, D sharp, E, F, F sharp, G, G sharp, A sharp, and B.
And of course, if you take out the sharps, what you have is Julie Andrews and Do, Re, Mi, Fa, Sol, La, Ti, Do, basically.
That's right. That's right.
All right, now here is an octave on the R17. And those extra little notes, they almost make me lift out of my seat a little bit. It's just lifting. And that's what you mean by micro.
That's right.
And microtonal, right?
Right. I mean, and I do want to make it clear to everyone listening that in different parts of the world, of course, people don't think of those notes as micro. You know, they think of them as just different flavors of different pitches.
So the other thing that I learned from your demonstration video, we'll call it on YouTube, is you talk about the fact that it's not that there aren't other instruments that use what we're calling microtonal tones, but that you've designed something that looks and feels very much like an organ or a piano keyboard. And so one's hands, if one's already experienced with a 12-note key instrument from Western culture, can find your way around on those keys. Is that right?
That's true. And the fact that the instrument was actually conceived based on historical European instruments is part of the reason as to why I called it the Renaissance 17. Because most people in Europe or the United States don't really know that, in fact, back in the late Renaissance and early Baroque, there were these kinds of instruments with more than 12 keys per octave. And basically, I was exposed to such historical instruments when I was a master's student at New England Conservatory 23 years ago. It was the late faculty member, well-known composer Dan Pinkham, that took all of us, our class, to an organ room and started playing this instrument that not only had these so-called split keys, like the Renaissance 17, like my instrument, but it was an actual organ. And the tuning of it was, again, microtonal.
So we've got a little bit of you playing a Baroque piece. It was composed by Gregorio Strozzi, and it was actually composed for instruments that would have more than 12 keys per octave. I think we're used to a narrative of the future means more. and technology means more. But that was common in the 1500s, and somehow we, at least in the West, shrank, right? So how did we get to away from that into the standard 12 keys?
Well, we shrank in one way, and then we expanded another. The orchestra grew in size. And while that was happening, we needed to come up with some sort of a standard for all of these different instruments to be able to play together. The concept of, you know, referring to an alto saxophone as an E-flat instrument, you know, a tenor saxophone, a B-flat
which
instrument.
Which are called different keys.
That's right. Meaning, in the past, to negotiate those differences were more difficult, especially because of these microtonal qualities.
I see.
So you needed a standard so that these, you know, a large orchestra, a large ensemble could play together with least amount of problems. Whereas, for example, in the Middle East, it was the opposite. These kinds of microtonal flavors ended up actually expanding more over the course of centuries.
We're speaking with Mehmet Ali Sanlıkol, who's a faculty member at New England Conservatory, Grammy-nominated musician, and now inventor, creator, you pick the word, of the Renaissance 17, which is a new microtonal instrument. I mean, you made a new instrument. And I want to back up for a minute, because we had you on the show. You had released a new album, and it was really innovative marrying of traditional Turkish music, Middle Eastern music, and jazz. And when I heard you had made this Renaissance 17, I thought, I wonder if there were just no instruments to keep up with his imagination anymore.
Well, I came up with this idea as a naive dream of a thought 23 years ago first. So I always had this in my mind. It's just that I did not necessarily have the courage to be able to launch such a project. But 4 years ago, I finally thought that maybe I could get a grant. And the Boston Foundation's lab grant actually gave me this opportunity to be able to fund the building of this instrument. And it was difficult. It was a very difficult process, but we managed. Here it is, fully functional. It is a prototype, but it certainly allows me to be able to dive into this world, which I was not able to tap into musically as much before.
As much as you wanted to.
Yes.
So picking up on that, we're going to hear some more music here. Mm-hmm. Another improvisational piece from your demonstration video unveiling the Renaissance 17. Now, this is an electronic instrument. When I saw the demonstration, the prototype looks very much like a wooden piano almost, with double beautiful, you know, when you can see the grain of the wood?
Yes.
Double keys with the grain of the
exactly.
wood, and
yeah,
the white
yeah.
keys are black keys.
Yeah.
And I have to admit, I kept thinking, what's in the box, right? Is it a hammer hitting strings and you have more hammers? Is it the guts of a computer in there? What's in there to make this music?
Right. So when I first started launching this project, I approached a number of people and I spoke to engineers at Stanford and MIT. And a lot of the people, to my surprise, said that, well, you know, to build a keyboard is going to be difficult for us. You know, you don't want to go with 3D printing and so on and so forth because the action is not going to be right, et cetera.
The action means the response of the key to your fingertip.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly. And so they all recommended that I go find a professional luthier who builds harpsichords or organs.
And luthiers are crafters of musical instruments.
That's right. And so New England area is actually famous for early music experts. And so lots of luthiers who build harpsichords and organs actually happen to be situated in this area. So it wasn't all that easy to find one that would accept to launch this project, because they don't typically build 17 key keyboards every, you know, all the time. But there was Jacob Kaiser, who's based in New London, Connecticut, and he said, yes, I can do it. And he first sent a diagram, a picture of what he was going to do, and then he built the 17 key keyboard. And then I first worked with an engineer from MIT Media Lab, and the first trial basically failed. mainly because the first engineer tried to put in an electronic system that was very different from the kinds of MIDI keyboards that are out there today. Just a regular MIDI keyboard that you can go and buy from Guitar Center.
And MIDI has something to do with it being able to connect to a computer,
right? That's right. After all, the idea, the very fundamental idea here was, why don't we build a digital instrument with all of the sharps, flats, split, but at the same time, because it's digital, I can change tuning of the instrument from this piece to that piece with the hit of a button. And I can use many different kinds of sounds, mm-hmm. ranging from an electric piano to, you know, all kinds of different possibilities, organs, synthesizers, etc. That was the basic idea. And so the second engineer I worked with, Sage Radachowski, he was actually able to devise a system where inside the keyboard at the end of the keys, there are basically brass springs that create connection with the circuit board. And
so it works a lot like a piano would, actually,
kind
or a
of.
Harpsichord.
Yeah,
or a...
yeah, yeah. It is similar. It's something in
it's
between.
It's both.
Yeah. And,
it's
and
both.
Again, this is the prototype. This is a prototype. It took 2.5 years to get to this point. And I'm still scared to put it in the back of my car and take it from one place to another, you know.
But Boston potholes.
But, you know, we're of course, there's constant improvement that is being done to the instrument to make it more solid. And, I mean, just the other day, I took it to another place, and I took it out of the car, and it worked. You know, it works.
Are there already people who want to play it?
Yes. Online, a couple of people started responding and asking about it. That's a big question. I know that I'm a composer. I'm a musician. I dreamt this instrument up only because I wanted to play it, and I wanted to make music with it. You know, I wasn't necessarily looking to launch a line, a production line of the Sonlin called Renaissance 17, but who knows what may happen in the future.
So I want to marry this idea of you wanted to make music with it, with the idea we talked about earlier of your imagination for 23 years of having something else be possible in your music. One of the places you've taken this prototype in your car was to Jordan Hall at the New England Conservatory back in September. You played a concert there. I want to hear that music. Okay, so I love it because one of the things that really struck us about it was when you really go to town on the R17. And as we heard that piece, you were just playing it on the table here, not the actual instrument, but you were fingering it back out. There are so many questions I want to talk about from here, but part one, This is what you are known for, right? Which is blending Turkish music, Middle Eastern music, with jazz. And this is that, isn't it?
This is really that, yes. This particular piece we're listening to is just that. It is taking the spirit of jazz and also trying to bring in the makam without sacrificing it in any way, honoring the tradition of makam as fully as I could. To render that tradition precisely isn't all that easy. And so it was always in the past, on the keyboard at least, in some way negotiating things. But with the Renaissance 17, I don't really have to negotiate things.
So that's the second question, right? Yeah. This negotiating. I'm glad you used that term because what I thought about in hearing you was, well, does this unlock a corner of your imagination that was holding back because of what was physically possible before?
Right. In a way, it is. At least in this setting, you know, it allows me to be able to go a longer distance. But in the end, you know, just to make something clear, when I find myself, you know, commissioned to compose for orchestra, you know, then I change perception and I say to myself, how can I find other ways of still, you know, communicating the spirit of this music while I may have to negotiate things, you know, because this is a complex matter. Of course, this instrument, again, I had it in mind for so long, and finally I'm discovering things that I just was not able to tap into musically before. There's no question about that. But music is such a big world of different colors and different possibilities. And so in this kind of world of experiments and so on and so forth, it's more about being mature and thinking about how can I communicate the very essence of this music while honoring both of these traditions that I'm trying to bring together,
yeah.
You know, fully.
All right, so I want to play a little bit more here. Mm-hmm. So in this piece, which is from the concert at Jordan Hall in September, you are improvising vocally and on the R17 at the same time. So that is almost like scatting.
Yeah.
And playing traditional Turkish music at the same time. So,
right.
Okay, here's what I think I've learned about improvisation. That, you know, the first stage is you just learn the instrument, so you know what it can do. The second stage is that you learn, you imagine something, and you eventually learn how to play it on that instrument. The third stage is that you can play it on the instrument as you're imagining it.
Good.
Okay,
yeah.
You've now done a fourth stage, which is play it on the instrument and sing it at the same time that you're imagining it. It's a new instrument.
Right.
So how to get to that master stage so fast?
Well, first of all, the makam, you know, the modality itself is inside my head anyway. I've had it for a long time. I've internalized that musical language and therefore that particular modality for God knows how long. Same goes for the language of jazz. And so I'm bilingual, both musically and linguistically. So in this case, because I'm bi-musical, so I'm able to play this. Yes, the instrument may be new, but what I'm playing on it is something that I had in me for a long time. In fact, the instrument just helps me put it out there.
So what's possible for you next? And did you ever think? No, you did. 23 years ago, you did.
I did.
What's possible for you now?
Well, I mean, I've just started unlocking the possibilities of new pieces composed for this instrument, performed by this instrument in the trio setting, in the large ensemble setting. I do want to put it in the jazz orchestra setting, in the orchestra setting, as a featured soloist. And so in order to get there, I need to first get the instrument to become a little bit more solid. The mechanism needs to be solidified a little bit more so that I'm not as scared as carrying it in the back of my car. but you know, I don't think that's going to take too long. We're already making progress. And then I think it'll be, tapping into these new worlds and seeing what I have to negotiate next. Because I'll be putting it in the context of the large ensemble.
That's Mehmet Ali Senlikol, Grammy-nominated musician, composer, and now inventor of the Senlikol Renaissance 17. Tune in again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.